This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for tuning in. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm, and they are available to you in the greater Tampa Bay area. You need not live, nor work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to call Brandon Legal Group anytime for a free consult. 844-4-BLG-4ME. 844-4-BLG-4ME, BrandonLegalGroup.com, the Brandon Legal Group foursome, a regular at all Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, had the final tee time of 1 p.m. yesterday. I'm recording this on Sunday afternoon at the sold-out and very successful year-ending Todd Wright Tour XXVIII Holiday Spectacular. Good to see Colin. I had seen Jeremy and Sean earlier in the week over a meeting where we were talking about things that we wanted to do together in 2021. I am proud to remind you that Brandon Legal Group is there when you are in need of legal assistance as a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. And I appreciate their longtime support of my golf tournaments and, of course, my various podcasts. BrandonLegalGroup.com, 844-4-BLG-4ME. Also at yesterday's successful Todd Wright Tour 28 Holiday Spectacular, Mike Lentz of Papa John's of Tampa Bay. I was actually just texting Denny Gray of Papa John's of Tampa Bay a little earlier today on this Sunday. He said, based on the social media pics, looked like the tournament went well, was checking in. Thank you, Denny. Thank you, Mike Lentz, for coming out. Always being a presence at my golf tournaments. Papa John's of Tampa Bay has been supporting me. They were the original sponsor of my first podcast, the first year of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Now we're in season 5 of that separate podcast from this one. And I have Denny, I have Mike, and Papa John's of Tampa Bay to thank for this ongoing partnership. Papa John's of Tampa Bay continues to offer those papadillas, including the newest flavor, the double cheeseburger papadilla that goes right along with the return of the double cheeseburger pizza. The only difference is there are pickles on the double cheeseburger papadilla. I don't believe there are pickles on the pizza. I think there are tomatoes on the pizza. Continuing at a promotional price of just $6 per papadilla. I believe there are up to 6 flavors of papadilla now, and you can vary the ingredients a little bit within that same cost window. Thank you, Papa John's of Tampa Bay, for your continued support of my golf tournaments and my podcasts. I appreciate your friendship. For social media purposes, if you are not connected to me, it's pretty simple. My Instagram, where I've been posting tons of images from the Todd Wright Tour 28 Holiday Spectacular Golf Tournament, is, of course, at Todd Wright 2020 Instagram. On Facebook, it's simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. I welcome your friend requests. Just please do not ask me to like other pages while we are friends, or we are going to have a difficult time remaining friends. People often ask about me. Does the Todd Wright Tour have a Facebook page? Does the Todd Wright Toddcast have a Facebook page? Does What Are the Odds, my handicapping webcast, have a Facebook page? They're all under my page. I see no reason to burden you with additional pages. I pack it all into one page on Facebook, one page on Instagram, and much of that material also finds its way onto my Twitter page, also like Instagram at ToddWright2020. So, Sunday afternoon, if I am doing this in the midst of an NFL Sunday, you know it's not something actively NFL related. However, it is connected to the NFL in another way. You know, within the last week, I have my favorite topics in sports to talk about because I've had them right for being wrong for so long. Now, eventually, these things sometimes catch up with you because they go the other way. So I was waiting to do a James Harden or Paul George related Todd Wright Toddcast. And then something happened earlier on Sunday that allows me to wait to do the Harden and or Paul George Toddcast. And that name and that topic is the former highest paid public employee in the state of Illinois, who as of today is no longer employed by the state of Illinois. To the state of Illinois, three words, serves you right. The University of Illinois in Champaign earlier on Sunday fired the loser known as Lovie Smith. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like that I call Lovie a loser, even though I'm going to tell you why he's a loser? Fine. I have plenty of other words that I can use to describe him. Arrogant, ignorant, asshole. Let's begin. You may fall back on Lovie Smith being the coach of the NFC champion Chicago Bears in Super Bowl 41. Fine. Let's start there to give you that. They did go to Super Bowl 41. They played the Indianapolis Colts. They lost to the Indianapolis Colts. That was, as of this season, 14 years ago. So let's go from that point forward about the career, the legacy of the loser that is Lovie Smith. From that point on, Lovie Smith did not work with Ron Rivera anymore. The former Chicago Bear player was also a big part of Lovie Smith's coaching staff in Chicago, and should get a lot of credit for that Super Bowl run. Both Lovie Smith and Ron Rivera had contract discussions with Bears management and ownership after the Bears went to Super Bowl 41. Lovie said he was underpaid, the Bears agreed, and gave him a new deal. Ron Rivera's deal was up, and the Bears let Rivera go. I think we all know what Ron Rivera has done since. He had a very long, successful run with the Carolina Panthers, getting them to a Super Bowl as a head coach just 5 years ago. And then when the Panthers let him go, he was very coveted. He was very attractive on the market and was immediately signed by what we now know and what I now call Washington FT. And the last time I checked, Ron Rivera's Washington FT handed the Pittsburgh Steelers their first loss in come-from-behind upset fashion just last week and are in the mix to win the NFC East with the return of Alex Smith at quarterback. So you might want to factor the input of Ron Rivera in with how much credit you give Lovie Smith for what the Bears did in getting to a Super Bowl 14 years ago. Rivera's career since has been pretty good. Now let's talk about what loser Lovie Smith has done in those last 14 years. So Smith stayed with the Bears through 2012. That Super Bowl was the 2016 season. So Smith stayed another 6 years, got not only the new contract after Super Bowl 41, increasing his pay, but then got another contract that extended him until the Bears ultimately fired him at the end of the 2012 season. While Smith's overall record with the Bears is a respectable 81-63 and includes that trip to Super Bowl 41, once Ron Rivera left, Lovie Smith's record as Bears head coach is 52-44. And during that time of the 52-44 without Rivera, and various other coordinators and coaches that came and went, the Bears won one playoff game under Smith as head coach after going to Super Bowl 41. It was a 35-24 victory over the Seattle Seahawks that put them into a historic NFC title game against their longtime rival, the Green Bay Packers. And if you don't remember that game, I'm happy to tell you more about it because I was in attendance at the game. This was the game where Jay Cutler was injured, and it's still talked about as whether or not Jay Cutler was really injured enough to not gut out trying to get the Bears to the Super Bowl and then taking another 2 weeks to recuperate and prepare for Super Bowl, what was that one, 45. Yeah, 45, because Green Bay went on and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers down in Arlington, Texas. So Cutler comes out of the game, stays on the sideline. Normally when a player is seriously injured, especially a high-profile player, they go to the dressing room, and often they stay there, either for the rest of the game for a while. Cutler was visible on the sideline and just declared out for the remainder of the game. In came his backup quarterback, Todd Collins, who looked awful. And the explanation on why Collins looked so awful was because in the week leading up to an NFC Championship game, Collins simply wasn't paying attention, did not prepare as a normal backup quarterback should, didn't really know what to do when he went into the game, and was quickly yanked because he had basically blown off all his preparation in the week leading up to that game. They didn't put Cutler back in. They put in their emergency quarterback. Some of you remember the name. Caleb Haney. The reaction to all of this being at Soldier Field, and I was fortunate enough for a number of years there with a great friend of mine living on the north side of Chicago who was a Bear season ticket holder. I went to a number of Bear games at the renovated Soldier Field. Some went well, some went not so well. For example, I was at the game the Bears won to get to Super Bowl 41, an NFC title game win over the New Orleans Saints. This one, a little bit different, especially considering the injury to Jay Cutler and what many Bears fans thought about Cutler not being able to stay in the game or return to the game, let alone their reaction when Caleb Haney went into the game, which basically eliminates your first two quarterbacks from going back in. That was the rule then. I don't know if it still is. When you put in your emergency quarterback, all your other active quarterbacks are done. They cannot go back in because you've gone to your emergency quarterback who was not on the active roster. Haney did not play badly. He was more prepared, more aware, more effective than Todd Collins. And at one point, he even made it look like the Bears were in the game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And then deep in his own end, there was a zone read by, he was a big defensive tackle out of Boston College, a young guy, might have even been a rookie or a second year guy. And he did a zone blitz on Haney that just Haney was not ready for B.J. Raji. So Haney threw a ball out of his own end zone, kind of a middle screen. And he threw it right into Raji's gut. Raji caught it, ran like 5 yards into the end zone for the touchdown, and game over. But I'll always remember how Caleb Haney actually looked the part for a part he'd never play again and was never expected to play at all. That was the same year that Lovie Smith had defensive play calling pulled from him. He didn't call the defensive plays that year. Yet the Bears had their most successful year post Ron Rivera in the Lovie Smith era, in the first year where Lovie had defensive play calling taken away from him. And obviously, even prior to this, and even when Rivera was there, there were many questions about Lovie's role in the handling of the quarterback situation in Chicago with a not ready for prime time Rex Grossman. If you were to run down quarterbacks who lost Super Bowls, who probably shouldn't be in the same sentence as the word Super Bowl, Rex Grossman would be in the top five. So that was the rest of Lovie Smith's tenure in Chicago. After winning the NFC Championship with Ron Rivera on his staff, Lovie then went 52-44. His remaining, 2007, 2008, 2009, 6 years. He was ultimately fired at the end of the 2012 season. And there was all this talk about how Lovie Smith would immediately get another head coaching job. He didn't. I thought that was very telling. There were other jobs that opened up. He didn't get them. He sat on the sidelines, not coaching, for the entire 2013 season. He was not in demand. The numbers and the results spoke for themselves. Then, after the failed Greg Schiano experiment in Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers decided to make Lovie Smith their 10th head coach in Buccaneer franchise history back on January 2nd of 2014. He signed, I believe it was a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option on it. And Lovie Smith went 8-24 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Couple of notes here. Leading up to the 2015 season opener against Tennessee, 2014 obviously was so bad his first year that the Bucs earned the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. They chose Jameis Winston, number one, instead of Marcus Mariota, who went number two to Tennessee. The NFL schedule makers obviously thought it would be fun to put the two top picks against one another in the season opener that year. And something that my colleague Tom Krasnicki has often fallen back on ever since was all the times throughout that 2015 training camp, throughout that 2015 preseason, and throughout the week leading up to the 2015 season opener that Lovie Smith always said to the media and in press conferences was about being, quote, Tennessee ready. Well, Lovie, you weren't. Let's remind everybody how that game went, shall we? Marcus Mariota threw a touchdown on his 4th NFL pass. Jameis, by the way, threw a pick 6 on his. Mariota ended up with 209 yards passing in the game, a perfect rating of 158.3. for his NFL debut. He threw 4 touchdowns all in the first half, had just 2 incompletions, and running a variation of the spread offense that he successfully ran at the University of Oregon, the Titans won the game 42-14 in a game that was over by halftime. Where was the Tennessee ready? Well, guess who wasn't Tennessee ready? Loser Lovie Smith, who, as JoeBucksFan.com still likes to point out, Smith never bothered to look at Mariota game tape from his days at Oregon in the last games he played that actually mattered to prepare his team and his defense for Mariota's talents. Smith never looked at Mariota game tape to prepare his Buccaneers to be Tennessee ready. As I said, arrogant, ignorant. Unthinkable, right? But true. So let's move on to Lovie's dismissal at the end of that 2015 season. And I'll paraphrase what went down because I wasn't in the room, but apparently the Glazers told general manager Jason Light, we'll get to that, that they wanted to talk to Lovie Smith at the offices once the season had concluded. And they asked Jason Light to make that call for them. Light apparently did make the call, passing on the request that Smith's bosses, who sign his check, wanted to speak to him that night. Instead, Lovie pressed Jason for information, saying he didn't like the way this sounded, and he just asked, what's going on? At this point, Jason's just conveying the message. It's basically, the boss wants to see you. Well, Smith refused to be seen by his bosses. And that was the end of that. Arrogant, ignorant. And I still wonder why the Glazers, not that they're hurting for cash, didn't at that point have Light call Smith back and basically say, tell him he either comes into the office to speak to us tonight or he will be fired for cause, which means he'll never see another check from us, whether he shows up to clean out his office or not. When your boss asks to come see you, even if you know what they're going to say, you fucking go. Even I did it more than once. You go. And ironically, both times when I did it, my checks kept coming. Why did Lovie's keep coming? Fire him for cause, for being a loser, for being arrogant, for being ignorant. It's also a little gutless, don't you think? So before we leave the Buccaneer part of this, let me remind all of you who may have a bit of a soft spot in your heart for Lovie Smith, because he was an assistant to Tony Dungy when the Bucs were building up that team that eventually won the Super Bowl. Lovie is very responsible for the fact that Jason Light is involved with the Tampa Bay Buccaneer franchise. Yeah, Lovie was very, very involved in naming Jason Light as general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How has that worked out? So you have that to hang on loser Lovie Smith as well. Now let's fast forward to from the firing on January 6th of 2016 to the hiring on March 7th of 2016 by the University of Illinois in the Big Ten. Illinois had had four straight losing seasons and were one of the many schools in the expanded Big Ten who were looking way uphill at programs like Ohio State, Wisconsin, and to a lesser degree, Michigan State, Penn State, and we'll throw Michigan, Michigan in there as well, although clearly Jim Harbaugh hasn't done much there. So Illinois throws a six-year, $21 million contract at loser Lovie Smith. By the way, there were $8 million in performance bonuses that I think you'll agree Lovie didn't reach many. Earlier today, Lovie Smith was fired as the highest paid public employee in the state of Illinois. His record over five seasons at Illinois, 17-39. His record in conference play, 10-33. And of the 56 games Lovie Smith coached, he offered one highlight. One. It was back in 2019 when Illinois, on a late field goal, upset then number six Wisconsin, 24-23. And as a result of that upset, they actually earned enough victories to earn a bowl game bid, which, of course, they lost. So let's add up loser Lovie Smith's win-loss mark since Super Bowl 41. He went 52-45. I'm sorry, I need to add one there because he won one playoff game, the one we mentioned against Seattle before losing the NFC title game. So it's actually 53-45 with the Bears after Super Bowl 41 after losing Rivera. 8-24, winning percentage of .250. With the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, didn't look at game film of Marcus Mariota in college, and is responsible for Jason Light having a home in Tampa. Then, as the highest paid public employee in the state of Illinois, four straight losing seasons he was supposed to turn around has become nine straight losing seasons, as he had a record overall of 17-39. You add those numbers up. And in the last 14 years, one of which no one wanted Lovie Smith as their coach, so fortunately for him, he couldn't lose any more games. In those 13 seasons of the 14 years since being a head coach in the Super Bowl, he's gone 78-108. 78-108. Now, based on my research on how much he has been paid by both the Bears, the Bucks, and the state of Illinois, he's roughly made $1 million per victory. Sad, isn't it? Because really, only two of the wins even mattered. One playoff win post-Super Bowl 41, that win January 16th of 2010, actually 2011, over Seattle that got them to the NFC title game. And the one highlight he gave to University of Illinois fans, the 24-23 upset win over Wisconsin that ended up helping earn them a bowl bid. Two. Two wins that really mattered. Total of 78 wins against 108 losses. There's my testimony. You want to rethink yours? The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Call anytime for a free consult. They are a full service law firm. 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Also by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Thanks to Papa John's of Tampa Bay for all they continue to do for Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments. They were the original sponsor of my first ever podcast 5 years ago. when we began the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thank you, Papa John's of Tampa Bay, Denny Gray at the West Kennedy Store, Mike Lentz at the West Waters Store, for all you do for me. Thank you for listening to this edition. It's been fun. Of the Todd Wright Toddcast, and we will talk to you next time.